Welcome to the Not Old Better Show. I'm your host, Paul Vogelsang. A new book details the dramatic effects digital devices can have on today's tech-savvy kids. The book, titled iGen, Why Today's Super-Connected Kids Are Growing Up Less Rebellious, More Tolerant, Less Happy, and Completely Unprepared for Adulthood and What That Means to the Rest of Us, is from Simon & Schuster and is by our guest today, Dr. Gene Twenge. Dr. Twenge joins us to talk about all of that,
what it means to the Not Old Better audience, and where the name she coined, iGen, comes from.
iGen is the generation born between 1995 and 2012. They are the first generation to spend their entire adolescence with smartphones. Thus, the label iGen, like iPads and iPhones. Two-thirds of them have an iPhone. Almost all of them have a smartphone. And given how smartphones have shaped them, iGen seems to fit.
That, of course, is our guest today, Dr. Gene Twenge. Please welcome to the Not Old Better Show, Dr. Gene Twenge. Well, Dr. Twenge, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Let's get into this. You're quoted as saying, it's not an exaggeration to describe what the iGen group is almost on the brink of the worst mental health crisis in decades. Why is iGen in such a crisis?
Yeah, so let's first talk about how I came to that conclusion. Mm-hmm. There's just more and more evidence pointing in the direction of mental health issues and serious mental health issues just being more common just in the last 5 years. So the suicide rate for teens has increased by 50% for older teens and has tripled for girls who are 12 to 14. Clinical level depression has increased by 50%. More report symptoms of depression, anxiety, self-harming behavior. So these more serious problems are just more common than they used to be just not that long ago. The trends really started around 2011 or 2012. So that timing with these issues starting to show up around 2012 was suspicious because the economy was getting better at that point. But that happens to be the year when smartphones became really common. And I found out later, the Pew Center concluded that the late 2012 is when the percentage of Americans who owned a smartphone crossed 50%. And it was probably a little earlier for teens, maybe around 2011. So right around the time smartphones became ubiquitous, these mental health problems started to go up and then went from there.
This is a real tragedy. And I think many of my audience might use these terms, iGen and millennial, interchangeably, but they're different in your mind. Is it the smartphone component, or how are they different?
Yeah, the smartphone seems to be one of the key differences between iGen and the millennials. So when I started seeing those trends show up in the data around 2012, not just in mental health, but in other types of behaviors, say going out with your friends has declined with the millennials, but really accelerated that drop in getting together with friends in person, really accelerated around 2011 as well. So there were just all of these trends in these large national surveys of teens that I analyze. They're done year by year, and that 2011 or 2012 point seemed to be a real breaking point. So that's why I put the division line at millennials being those born 1980 to 1994, and then iGen being born starting around 1995, and my estimate for when they'll end is with those born in about 2012, but that later year could be revised as future data comes in.
It really might be ignorant on the part of my audience, boomers, for example, to say things like, oh, kids are growing up so quickly these days. And that really isn't even true, and your research is pointing that out.
Yeah, so that was one of the other interesting findings, because that's a very common thing that people mm-hmm. say. Gen Xers like me say that too, that, oh, you know, kids are growing up so fast, there's so much porn around, there's these sexy Halloween costumes for girls. Well, I have three girls, so I agree on some of those points. Mm-hmm. But if you look more at how teens behave and the things they do with their time, it's exactly the opposite. Teens now grow up more slowly. So let's take high school seniors. most of them are 18, the rest are 17. Spring of their senior year, there's this big national survey that's been done since 1976. Well, that's great. That captures boomers, Gen Xers, millennials, and iGen at the same age. So if you think about things that adults do that children don't, all those things that you do as an adolescent for the first time, things like driving, having a paid job, maybe trying alcohol, having sex, going out without your parents, going on dates. iGen teens are much less likely to do those things. Fewer do those things by the spring of their senior year compared to previous generations, especially compared to boomers who almost all of them had a driver's license. A very large percentage went out on dates on a regular basis. Almost all of them had tried alcohol by the time they were 18. Three-fourths of them had a paid job during this school year. So by 17 or 18, baby boomers, say in the late 70s, were, by those standards of those independent adult activities, they were more or less adults. Today's teens, a much larger percentage, are not adults by those measures of doing those adult activities.
I think one of the other distinctions that you make, it's very interesting based on your research in your new book, iGen, is this idea that there's more of a focus on self with this particular component, this iGen group, than boomers. And so it seems like that needs to kind of be pointed out and maybe explained a little bit more. What is that? Is it all about selfies? Is it all about social media only? Because plenty of boomers are participating in social media.
Yeah, it goes far beyond social media, and the trend toward more focus on the self started a long time ago. I mean, some people have argued that it really got started with boomers. So you have to take a kind of step back and think about the bigger cultural trends here. So one of the biggest trends in the last, let's say, 50 years in the U.S. has been for the culture to become more individualistic, more focused on the self and less on social rules. And that's something that the boomers are very interested in, promoting individual rights, for example, getting rid of outdated social rules. But boomers did that in groups, in protest groups, some of the things in the 70s that were trendy, like doing EST or consciousness raising. It was this interesting combination of communalism, you know, things in groups, and individualism. Then Gen Xers and millennials took it to the next level, which is we're going to get rid of that groups part, and we're going to think about individualism as more this uniquely self-focused thing, and we're going to think about standing out, being unique, emphasizing self-esteem, thinking highly of yourself, and continue to try to push away, you know, those what we see as outdated social rules and treating people as members of groups. Instead, we're going to focus on equality, so they continued that trend. And then iGen continues those trends in some ways and not in others. So, for example, iGen is very supportive of LGBT rights, and they really stand out from previous generations on that, even today, whether you look over time or comparing the generations as they are right now. And they also are very distrustful of large institutions. They don't even want to belong to a political party. Many more of them are independent politically. So they have a lot of these individualistic beliefs. Where they break with millennials who came right before them is in some of the positive self-views and the idea of self-esteem and thinking highly of yourself, probably because of those trends in mental health. iGen is much more insecure. They are not the overconfident optimists that the millennials were just before them.
And all of this insecurity and all of this maybe sense of displaced self leads to less happiness, leads to less sleep, leads to doing things like late entry into those that have driver's license. But there are other things too. It's overall development that's slowed down. And why is that?
Yeah. And that's such an important point with this, because I think it's so easy to miss the big picture here by thinking about some of these things in terms of, you know, oh, they're immature, or oh, you know, these trends are bad, or all these trends are good. The big picture is actually pretty simple, is that they are taking longer to develop. Same thing across the whole lifespan. Children are staying little for longer in terms of what they know how to do and their independence. They're not walking to school as often, for example. Then there's those trends with teens doing these adult activities less. Young adults are taking longer than boomers did to finish their education, get a solid job, get married, have kids, own a house. And there's economic factors in that too. But at the core, what's going on is we live longer. And we have our kids later, and we have fewer children, and for the most part, the world isn't as dangerous as it used to be. So it's a change in what some people call a life strategy, whether you have a slow life strategy or a fast life strategy. So when boomers were kids, the average family had four kids. That means, you know, half had more than that. So my mom's family was eight kids, for example. And they, with the mom there, and think about it, you know, back then, boomers can think of their mother was probably cooking a lot. There were no microwaves. If you were lucky, you know, you had a washing machine that worked. You might not have had a dryer. You might have had to hang stuff outside. The goal was survival when you had that many kids and that much work to do around the house. So you couldn't watch them as carefully. And you assumed that they were going to be more on their own and fend for themselves. And you also assumed that they were going to get married at 20, just like you. Things are a lot different now. Now we have two kids. Now we have microwaves and lots of conveniences. And we assume that our kids are going to go to college. And we assume that they're not going to have their own children until later. That's the slow life strategy. So it's really a much deeper cultural phenomenon than some of these surface observations that you know, get bandied around about kids being more responsible or some of these trends being good and some being bad. It misses the big picture of this really, really big cultural change. And to end with my favorite example, my uncle, who's actually a little older than boomers, once told me this story. It was maybe the late 40s, and he and his friends went skinny dipping in the river. And I was like, wait, how old were you? And he said, we were 8 or 9. And I was thinking, what parent would allow your kid to go swimming alone, much less naked with his friends, in a river at that age? And I was like, oh, it was 1948. They had seven other kids who were running a dairy farm. That's why. So the goal was survival, not violin lessons by five.
This is fascinating stuff. We're, of course, with Dr. Jean Twenge. Jean Twenge has written the new book, iGen. We're going to put links up to that. Dr. Twenge, I know you're really busy. I've just really got one question left for you, and this has to do with my audience, many of whom are grandparents. They're interested in parenting, but sometimes they might overdote. Is overdoting one of the factors here, or what are just some of the things that you can tell us that you've come up with in the way of solutions to help get beyond some of these issues that we're facing?
You know, a lot of it has to do with setting limits and encouraging kids to be independent. And I know that in being a grandparent, you're in a difficult position in trying to influence these things. So it may end up being that you may not want to say, hey, you know, here's what to do, but, you know, here's an article I read once, or here's this book that might tell you more about what's going on with teens today. Because when I talk to, you know, my fellow parents, the stuff I emphasize would be a little hard for grandparents to put in place, but maybe it can be suggested. Just that phone time, yes, it really is harmful. And thinking so doesn't make you an old fogey. There's really good data to back this up, that spending an hour a day or so is fine, but 2 hours a day or more with that phone has mental health effects. It may have effects on social skills and all kinds of other things too. So there's issues with it. But, you know, a lot of your audience may spend a lot of time on social media, so they have to think about their own behavior too, and maybe think about scaling that back. And then encouraging kids to be independent. there's trade-offs. It's great. Kids are much safer than they used to be. So I don't think we want to take it too far and say, oh, you know, when I was a kid, because I hear this a lot, I was a kid, we didn't have car seats and we were fine. Well, actually, those of you who died in car accidents are not here to say that you're fine. So you can take it a little bit too far. It's good we protect kids more. But it's also true that can be taken too far when we don't let 12-year-olds walk home from school, when, you know, sometimes there's, you know, parents just worrying about their, you know, 18-year-old getting a driver's license. Let them get the driver's license. They're 18. Let them have those independent experiences, because if they do, then they'll be prepared to be on their own when they go to college or get a job.
Well, Jean Twenge, PhD, author of Generation Me and author of the new book, iGen, Why Today's Super Connected Kids Are Growing Up Less Rebellious, More Tolerant, Less Happy, and Completely Unprepared for Adulthood, and What Net Means to the Rest of Us. Dr. Twenge, thanks so much for joining us. Where can people find out more about you online?
My website is www.jeantwenge.com. So that's JEANTWENGE. And then you can find the books on Amazon and other retailers.
Thank you so much for talking to us today, Dr. Twenge. What a pleasure, what a fascinating subject. And this does refer to the rest of us, those of us who are grandparents and still parenting and interested in knowing a little bit more about this generation. Thanks so much, Dr. Twenge.
Thank you.
Thanks to our guest today, Jean Twenge, who coined the term iGen, and her new book, iGen, Why Today's Super Connected Kids Are Growing Up Less Rebellious, More Tolerant, Less Happy, and Completely Unprepared for Adulthood, and What That Means to the Rest of Us, from Simon & Schuster. As usual, we'll post links to everything, and as usual, my thanks to you, the listeners, for joining me today. Your time is valuable. I'm grateful you're spending some of it with me today. I'm always interested in feedback, and you can leave that at iTunes, Google Play, send me email at info@notoldbetter.com. So stay tuned for our next show, another great one, as we talk about better. The Not Old Better Show. Thanks to all.